Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Getting you set for Pats and Texans. Patriots.
And the New England Patriots now at 10-1.
Texans.
Hobson running right. Now throws wide open. Touchdown.
Now broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Coming to you from our Best Yet studio here in Brighton, this is NFL Sunday. Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy, it is week 13 in the NFL. The 10-1 Patriots playing tonight against the 7-4 Texans. Guys, how are you?
Hello.
Good Thanksgiving and all
Scoops
that?
Fourier,
yeah. You got anything for us today?
Right. No. It's been a very quiet.
Too quiet, maybe.
Yeah, right? Too quiet, which means something must be.
Something's going on. You got to dig a little deeper, Christian. You got to go deeper.
I was lazy this week. I was lazy. I didn't feel like using any resources. I mean, I do have some information, but nothing that we could share on the show. I mean, it was
Wait a minute. Not football related.
Yeah, nothing fun related. I was like, you can't tease stories.
You have funny stories. Okay. Yeah. Well, if we have to, we can get to them. We're here till 1 o'clock.
Is the story really funny when you can't share it?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Is it like an inside joke, though?
I feel like it's an inside joke. Maybe,
keep that to yourself.
Well, but how do we know if something's really funny if you can't talk about it?
Yeah.
Right?
Like a tree fall in the woods.
You know, listen, unlike you, Wiggy, like, I care about people's feelings.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You know, and even though I want us three to have a good laugh, I don't want it to be at the
somebody's expense.
That's a good point.
Don't put somebody else down and make yourself feel better.
No, I don't need.
Don't prop yourself up.
I'm secure in my own body. Yeah.
No, I guess that makes sense. Hey, have you guys ever been on a team where half of the roster has the flu?
No.
Anything like this?
No,
you ever remember anything
I've been
like
on
this?
A team where guys were sick, but a Z pack will get you back in 3 days.
Yeah, this is pretty ridiculous when you take a look at the Patriots injury report. Ryan Izzo and Jason McCourty have already been ruled out, and then it's just countless players that are on here that almost all of them are dealing with an illness. A lot of them on defense. It just seems like up and down the roster, these guys are sick.
That flu bug going around.
Tom Brady though, healthy as an ox.
Healthy.
So
it seems, I don't know if does it feel like it's like the Monstars are coming to like, you know, it's like invaded their body. That's what it felt like. When was it? When the first report was kind of released. I think was it Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. All the just a huge list of players. I literally felt like this was Space Jam 2.
Well, at least we know
the football field.
At least we know who Patient Zero is. That would be Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, somebody put him in quarantine.
Yeah, he deserves blame. If you look at the list of guys who are questionable, again, they're not all with illness, but most of them are. In alphabetical order, Juwan Bentley, Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, Jamie Collins, Byron Cowart, Philip Dorsett, Nate Ebner, Julian Edelman, Jermaine Illuminor, Stephon Gilmore, Dante Hightower, Jason McCourty, who's out, Mohamed Sanu, Matthew Slater, Kyle Van Noy, Juwan Williams, Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is. I've been around where there's been a flu bug going around, a guy's got a little touch of it. Like I said, the doctor will give you a Z-pack. As long as it's not the yaks and the squirts.
See, that's what
how else? Say, that's mud butt? So it's not like it's just mud butt.
Yeah. No, more than that. It's coming out of both ends.
Yeah, see, that's where it becomes an issue.
Then it could really affect him on the field. Do you think it has any kind of factor? Like, do you look at the game differently because so many guys are sick, or you say, whatever, they'll suck it up, they'll load them up
with fluids? No, because it depends on how bad the person's sick. Yeah. You know, if it's, like you said, if he's got the yaks and the squirts going on at the same time, I mean, that's...
But, I mean, the worst part is it's not just like a handful of guys. It's Gilmore, Collins, Van Noy, Hightower. Those are like your four best defensive players.
But, you know, the good thing about it, it's in Texas, so you won't get that...
That's true. You don't get sick in Texas.
No. Let me explain this to you. You know when you get sick and you get the chills?
Yeah.
And when you're in a place that's cold, you're really, like, really cold and you can't do nothing.
It's like last Sunday didn't help those guys. Yeah, they were kind of sick then. Then
right.
They
you get like
sick
that chill
it.
And you want to go outside and you feel like you got. But when you're in a place that's kind of warm.
And you're playing indoors and just going
just
walking
find,
around as
you just
warm.
Find yourself right. sweating more than
that
anything.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean?
I do. That makes sense.
It's like getting sick in the winter versus getting sick in the summer. Now you just. Constantly sweating, and I think it's a little bit easier when you don't have that like achy. I feel like I'm gonna fall apart because I'm made of ice. Feeling.
Yeah. See, I don't think I've actually I mean, since I was a kid, I don't think I've ever had the challenge of trying to fight through the flu. Like, I got the flu. Even in high school, got the flu on a Thursday, game on Friday. Never. Mm-hmm.
Right.
College game on a Saturday. Flu. No. The pro. Never. I never had a situation where. I said, wow, I wonder if I could actually get through this feeling like crap. Maybe it's because sometimes the flu, you're not throwing up. You're just achy and right. You have a fever. You know, then there's mud butt. And then there's that, you know, you'll see this when your kids get older, when your kid gets older, Keith.
Yeah.
You know, they start going to, daycares and it's like a petri dish and they all come home with some sort of virus, some bacterial virus where they're throwing up and puking and pooping
and
everywhere.
Everything's green.
Hell yeah, it's disgusting, dude. Then you got to take Lysol and spray the whole house down. So, but I remember the only time I remember a guy like not being able to do it, I mean, he had the case of the runs. He just couldn't. God. Yeah, right. He was, and then he was getting dehydrated. And I remember going, God, he was like, yeah, I could play, but I poop every 5 minutes. So it became like
something to watch for tonight.
Yeah. It really was kind of funny. And because we were like, oh, where's so-and-so? He's like, well, he's not hurt, but what's wrong with him? He's got mud butt.
Oh,
and it depends on how bad, like you said, it's more of, is it taking a lot of energy out of me as soon as he's the person, you got Hightower, you got all these guys, are they over there sitting on the side with their towel over their head, kind of like where we remember Michael Jordan,
the flu game, but
do you look like that, or do you just kind of like, you know what, I'm able to fight through it? And if you look like Michael, now you kind of concerned a little bit because
like, can you still do what you normally do and then you just kind of collapse after? Right, like it just takes so much out of you, but right. You're still out there. Because I thought going into the game that Stephon Gilmore was going to match up with DeAndre Hopkins and just try to shut him down completely, and maybe even, in prime time, a signature moment like that, maybe even win Defensive Player of the Year. And now he still could do it, but I just now that you're like, now he's dealing with this. He didn't practice Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Now he was limited Thursday, Friday. A guy like Hightower missed Thursday's practice as well, so apparently a little bit more
now
sick.
These guys, now you got to hope that they're on the tail end of it, so maybe Sunday they're feeling better. They've
True.
Usually, like I said, the doctor will give you like a Z-pack, and usually it's the 2 days, 3 days, and now that fifth day, sixth day, you're feeling better. So maybe they're in the feeling better stage rather than being in the early part of the flu or right in the middle of the flu.
Right, and Wednesday was the first practice day, so maybe they even had it Monday, Tuesday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have no idea. And maybe they got it just, for being out in the cold last Sunday. That was a brutal day to be out there.
We know who Patient Zero is. Cannon must have been getting a little too close to people. Like,
this guy, he's a hugger.
Did he drink the Gatorade before me?
Here, use my water bottle. I don't want to use your water bottle.
You ever see those zombie movies? They try to find out who Patient Zero is so they can get his DNA and cure the whole thing. At least we know it's canon.
Now, the games on Thanksgiving, there's three of them, but the one that stood out to me was the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah!
The Cowboys.
That's Christian's team.
I'm
finally sold.
Thank you.
It's finally a playoff team. I've come around. They're
9-3.
But let me ask you this way. Is this the...
They don't need to win another game.
Is the Bills
win... I think maybe one more.
Yeah, they play it safe. Yeah,
I think they need to win
Jets
one more.
And the Dolphins, Wiggy. They still They could be 11-5.
Are they the best win that the Patriots have?
Oh, geez. Based on the record, yeah.
It has. Record, and it's been based on the record for a little while, but I think a lot of people thought it was either in Philly or even home to Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then when you see Buffalo go into Dallas and win on Thanksgiving, you got to say, no, that's. The Buffalo Bills win is the best one the Patriots have had.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that is pretty good when you think about what they were able and where they kind of are right now.
And there's not many teams. I mean, obviously Baltimore's better. They got Houston today, and I don't know. Do you guys think Houston's better than Buffalo?
I don't think so.
They may not be.
Buffalo looked good against Dallas. I got to give them credit.
I know. That's the thing.
Dallas – it's so hard.
It's so hard to
figure out teams now, right? And especially this season. How good is a team versus how bad a team is, right? So when you look at Buffalo, you go, okay, Buffalo looks like a good team, but is it because Dallas is not very good?
Right.
Or is Dallas good? Like Houston's a perfect team. You see them play one week and you go,
yeah, Houston might not be very good.
Right. Are they a good team or are they
probably
just
not.
So I have to say, I think you kind of got to give Buffalo
It took me forever. It took me 12 games, but I think Buffalo's good. I didn't think they were good for the longest time.
I tell you what, and I felt this way for a while, that I just felt, based on what I was reading out of Buffalo, the way Sean McDermott was handling themselves, the way the team themselves, I feel like they respect the city. They respect the team. It used to be such an eyesore. It's like you never want to go to Buffalo. The city sucks. The ownership sucks. The fans are crazy, but they're just crazy because there's nothing else to do there. It's not because they love the team anymore. It's like, hey, what are we going to do on Saturday? Well, we got an opportunity to get hammered, you know? So it's slowly morphed into something that they could be proud of being a part of. Like, guys just live in Buffalo and drive up to Canada to live. You know, they didn't want to be a part
of it. Right.
So I felt like McDermott's message was strong. Everything he did was strong. His passion during games were strong. Same coordinator 2 years in a row with Brian Daboll, right? And the same quarterback. Even though I can't stand Josh Allen, he's the best they got.
I was gonna say he's it's not always pretty, but
no,
I mean, you know, he can run a little bit. And
but you know
he's
what
not
I,
accurate.
You
but,
know,
but I mean, I don't know. I mean, John Brown's having a good year. Cole Beasley's been solid.
You know what I think Buffalo has done this, at least for this season. The thing that they have done for people who've seen Buffalo, fans of Buffalo, have just watched them throughout the years. They've got that, like, you know, that dirty stain of, oh, they usually start off good, but then they fall apart.
Yeah.
Right? So they're in a position where they started off good, and we really haven't seen them fall apart. And that's kind of what Buffalo used to be. 5-0, 5-1. It's like, oh, Buffalo Bills. But
and then 7-9.
Yes. And
then
they win two out of their next six games.
So they've already played Miami twice, Fourier.
Oh, they already played.
What they have left is Baltimore.
Ooh.
Pittsburgh.
That's at home. Baltimore's in Buffalo.
Yep, and then at Pittsburgh, at New England, and then home to the Jets.
Okay, so it's the Jets that they have, which would be another win.
But that'll be good. The Jets are playing better now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think they win that one as well, but I think that
one. Is it possible Baltimore might, I mean, excuse me, Buffalo might, they might only grab one more win left?
Yeah.
Because you got the Ravens at the Steelers. The Steelers are a team that's scrappy and fighting for that sixth wild card spot.
They had to win in Dallas, and they did. So
right.
To their credit.
You're in New England, and your final game is against the Jets. So
I mean, at Pittsburgh, I guess, is a toss-up.
Well, but I said with Pittsburgh, though, Pittsburgh is the sixth seed right now, so Pittsburgh is still fighting.
Well, they're going to lose to the Browns today.
You think?
The Browns got some life in them. Browns got a little bit of life.
Like they did last year. They got life when it doesn't matter.
It matters. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter.
They're done.
They do have some life for that sixth spot, right? Christian, look, this is
they beat the Bills.
Right.
So if it comes down to a tiebreaker.
Wait, did you guys hear that? Someone's about to blow up.
What?
And it's gonna be freaking Baker Mayfield.
Well,
I'm not buying them at all.
Here's where I would say that
Watchmen.
Maybe watch me. Here's where I would say that I hear you, Black Sister Knight. Here's where I would say that you might be able to buy them a little bit, right?
Who, Buffalo?
No, the Browns.
Oh, the Browns. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Because
don't sleep on the Browns.
Don't
wake up.
The sixth seed is being held right now by Pittsburgh at 6-5.
Yeah, we're going to knock them off.
But Oakland's 6-5.
Yeah.
The Colts are 6-5.
I'm not buying any of those teams.
The Titans. And then Cleveland's 5-6.
Yeah.
So
they're right there.
They know that they're
right. You guys, I mean, like,
yeah,
okay, so
what's the problem?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You gotta, dysfunction is part of the equation. Like, so if I'm doing my own equation, my own mathematical equation.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
How a team is gonna.
You're doing your own mathematical equation?
Dysfunctional equation. Like that is part of the equation and the total.
You don't
like,
think they're on a little bit of a heater right now?
They have like a my dysfunction scale goes from a 1 to 5.
1 to 5?
4.5.
Oh wow, so they're
they have they have won three
straight
games. So
it's really going to screw up their chances.
They have won three straight games. They have Cincinnati twice left on the schedule.
Yes.
I mean that
Andy Dalton's starting again.
Oh, shoot. Never mind. Browns are done. They're cooked. That's Fourier's favorite guy. Fourier is not going to show, whether it be OMF or NFL Sunday, where he hasn't mentioned Andy Dalton during the
football season. Well, here's what I would say. Here's what I would say to you, Rich, and we'll find out. One of you guys are going to be right today.
Yeah, me.
The Steelers-Browns play today at Pittsburgh. This game is
huge.
Huge game.
If Cleveland loses, then they're done.
They're Dunsky. But if Cleveland wins, now they have the Bengals at home. And then they go to Arizona.
I don't think they've lost since they've gotten Kareem Hunt, right? Or did they lose the first game that he played? No, I think they might be undefeated with Kareem Hunt. Their offense looks a little bit better with him.
So, you know, when you look at the Browns' schedule moving forward, if they're able to win today, that puts them at 6-6. And then you've got the Bengals next week at home.
Yep.
Now you're 7-6. You can go to Arizona. I mean, it's like they're a tough team.
Piling up wins.
You're 8-6, and now that Ravens game will be huge for you.
Who you already beat in Baltimore. Now, I don't know if you beat them twice, but I'm just saying that beat them.
You close up. So you could finish the season if you're the Browns, and you do go on this, and you've been on a three-game heater.
See, you get it.
You could. See.
Well, you know, listen, it would be a great story.
It would be the best story.
I'm just not. No, listen, I was excited about them, too. I just didn't think. I thought they would end the season 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, something like that where – They should be 11-5. They should have a season like the Buffalo Bills, but the dysfunction screwed them up so early on in the season that they couldn't make up for it. It's like, wow, we figured it out too late. Yeah, we have a good team. Yeah, we're prideful, but man, we sure were screwing around earlier in the year that really put us behind the eight ball. Where a team like the Buffalo Bills, where we may be better than, or maybe even the Indianapolis Colts or the Raiders. They just handle their business, you know, in those more important games. So, I don't know. I just, for the life of me, I would not jump on that Cleveland Browns ship. I think it's a setup.
Did they dig too deep of a hole? With the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I just feel like it's a setup. It's like, come on, water's warm. Yeah. Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Hey, sucker.
The Steelers, though, if they can figure out who their quarterback is.
That's the duck guy. You know, duck caller.
Are they going back to the duck caller?
Yeah, Devlin Hodges, I believe.
Well, they're in a pretty good position as well. If you're Pittsburgh, you know that.
Yeah.
See, because you're not winning the divisions.
No, that one has sailed.
The divisions, I think all of the divisions have sailed.
You think even the South? Because I think the Texans are going to lose tonight. You don't think the South is open?
If the Texans lose, then
that'd knock them down to 7-5.
All right, so maybe the South is.
I think the South is still up for grabs.
Okay.
I would lean Texans, but I'm going to pencil them in for a loss tonight.
Okay, so
an early lean on the picks, by the way. It's an early lean.
Who do the Colts have left? Let's see, the Indianapolis Colts, because when you look at it, the Colts are 6-5, and the Titans are 6-5.
So they play each other today.
That's going to be the Tannessons. Uh-oh.
You guys believe in the Tannessons?
What's that?
That's Ryan Tannehill.
Chris Shimes, Ryan Tannehill is leading the Titans to the playoffs.
Wow.
They've been good. They've been good since they've turned to Tannehill.
Yeah, so why wouldn't these – so if you have those – see, to me, so if you're looking for that – there's the elite teams.
Yeah.
There's the teams like the Buffalo Bills that are, and really, I feel like they're the only ones that are, they're good enough to beat the teams they should beat on a regular basis. Like teams with 3 wins, 4 wins, like you're better than them.
Yeah.
A team that's, you know,
kind of like to go college football here for a second, like Iowa. Iowa never beats the team they're supposed to beat, but they always, always, always beat the teams that they're supposed to beat.
Yeah. So they're
like they're 9-3 every single year.
They're always going to a bowl game.
Yeah,
right?
Outback Bowl. Iowa's in the Outback.
But they can't beat those top 10 teams when they got to play them.
They never, ever, ever beat those teams.
And I feel like that's who Buffalo is.
Yeah.
So, and then look at the lower tier. It's like, you know, this week when there was a bunch of teams that were all 6-6 or 5-6 or something like that, and they needed to win one more game to be bowl eligible, and most of them couldn't do it. Because they had – And I'm just going to bring it up. I was thinking of Colorado. Like they lost to all these, lost the Air Force. They lost to, you know,
they got waxed last year.
Air Force,
Utah.
Air Force 10-2 though.
That's
a nice Air Force team.
Utah waxed them last night.
It's Air Force, okay? We're just Air Force.
I know.
So I sit there and go, wow. If they didn't screw that game up and took that game more seriously earlier in the season, they wouldn't have to beat, you know, a top 10 team right. to go to a bowl game. So that's why I feel like the Cleveland Browns are, I feel like you know, the Indianapolis Colts are. They're all good teams, but, man, they need a lot of help. And if they could go on a run, you just, sure, maybe you get that spot, but you get bounced right away.
So let me ask you two this question then, right?
Yep.
We could all agree that the five teams that are probably playoff locks, I wouldn't say – maybe I would say four teams, would be Pats, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo, right?
I don't know if Buffalo's a lock. I really don't.
Wow.
I don't. I mean, I would put them
wow.
in. They're 9-3, but right. we just went over their schedule. There's a chance they go 9-7. There's a chance.
Wow, okay.
There's all a right. chance, right?
Okay.
I would say the only surefire locks would be the first three that you named. I think Buffalo's probably got the next best chance.
Okay, so
but New England, Baltimore basically already clinched,
so
and then Kansas City will
yeah,
get in,
so yeah. basically then out of the three, so the AFC South, who do you think is going to win that one? Because
Preseason I picked the Titans, but now I think it's probably the Texans. I think the Texans will hold on to it.
And then who do you think gets that wild card spot? Pittsburgh, Oakland, the Colts, Tennessee, or Cleveland? Because those are all in the mix right now.
I'll go with Cleveland for one of them. And then probably Buffalo. I think Buffalo's the smart
so
money.
Cleveland,
they get such a head. They get such a lead on everybody
well,
right now.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
like
they're probably in. But I mean, they're still the Bills, aren't they? I mean, I started by saying I've convinced myself that they're good, but aren't you just waiting for them to fall apart?
But I feel like they're past the fall apart point.
Maybe. Maybe they are.
So, Christian, who would you have then? We obviously know you got the Bills in there.
Yeah.
So you would have Patriots.
Well, Bills are in. They're locked.
So Patriots, Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo. Do you have Texans? Do you have the Texans as a lock? Or
wait, do you guys like Sean McDermott as a head coach?
Yes.
I think he's a baby. He's always complaining about stuff. That thing with Josh Allen and Jonathan Jones, he really rubbed me the wrong way. And then he had this other back and forth with a guy in the media that we played on our show where he was trying to ask him about the offense, and he was being such a dick.
Yeah,
now,
is,
that doesn't mean he's not a good coach, but he rubs me the wrong
so
way.
He has that.
Yeah. why I like him. Okay, the guy has not – he's starting to kind of just to build his own personality, and he doesn't have the credibility that Bill does. Bill does the same thing.
No, I know, but that's completely different.
I know, but my point is that – so
if Bill didn't win as much as he did, it wouldn't be very entertaining.
But I just like the fact that it doesn't matter to him. Okay. Like, he's going to stand up, and I get it. He can be a little whiny, and, you know, he's going to fight for his team. That's why I think there's a different mindset in there. Regardless, he looks silly to us, because what the hell have you guys won? You're Buffalo.
Right.
But somehow he had to convince these guys that it was worth it, one, not only to come there, to play there, to not just use it as like a holding spot for some other team that they want to go to later on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like no one was going to it was going to take a special personality to change the way people viewed that city and that team and that environment. And I think he's done an unbelievable job, because I always thought it was impossible for that to even happen.
That's a good point. I mean, and they haven't won double-digit games since 1999 when they went 11-5 but then lost in the wild card round. So they are one win away from double digits. So who are your wild card teams, Wiggy?
My wild card teams, I'm going to go with, I think, I feel like Pittsburgh is going to be able to sneak in, but the only problem is their quarterbacks. Their D's good,
yeah,
but their quarterback situation. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh, and then I think it's Buffalo.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo?
Yeah, I think
and
it's
Buffalo. And then 4A, who'd you say besides Buffalo?
Oh, man. So I don't know. I feel like
we know you're not sold on the Browns.
Yeah. It's got to be Houston.
Well,
I just
Houston's
think that
in.
Well, then who's winning the South?
I guess I'll give Houston the South then.
Tennessee?
Oh, crap.
Tennessee?
So who would be
your I mean, I just hear, you know what? You know what? Anyone but Cleveland. How about
okay.
that?
Oh, that's just rude.
So that
anyone
means
but Cleveland.
So in Christian's mind, that means Pittsburgh can get in, Oakland can get in, the Colts or the Titans.
He's got anybody but
Cleveland. He's got one of those four teams.
All right.
Thing is, though, like, I hate to say that, you know, one of the reasons why I picked the Bills is not, it was one, because of what I saw them doing from the outside. I felt like they were just competent, but also their schedule was so advantageous to them.
Yeah.
Just getting those easy wins. Just looking at the Browns schedule, like, even though that I do, they have a high dysfunction factor, it may be overridden by the schedule factor, which plays a big role in it also.
No,
Cincinnati twice? Oh,
you want giant.
I'm telling you.
Cincinnati twice?
They had a really tough schedule. Their first half of the season was one of the toughest schedules in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Second half is one of the easiest, and they get Kareem Hunt. So it kind of lines up where they can make a push.
You want a giant giant knocks your socks off, slap you in the face. It feels so good. Bold prediction?
Yeah, of course I do.
You want it now or you want it after the break?
No, let's save it. Save it. I love that.
When I tell you that,
Radio 101 right there.
Make sure you're running on this, because when I tell you this, you're...
No, I'm going to stop the recording right here.
Well, no, you're not. Keep
when
it going.
I tell you this,
keep this
when I tell you right. this, you are going to be like, oh, my God. I can't believe
what that
man just said. Yes. Christian's going
to
love it.
I can't wait. So we have that coming up. Storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. Wiggy is going to blow your socks off,
off your feet while your sneakers are still on.
This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Tom Brady joins the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? The New England Patriots kick off against the Houston Texans tonight, 8:20. Pats have a number of players listed as questionable, 15 in fact. Ryan Izzo, Jason McCourty have already been ruled out. Ian Rapoport reporting that the Houston Texans will not look to hire a GM for the 2020 season, which opens up discussions for what Nick Caserio will end up doing this offseason. We'll get into that later on.
I thought that was the whole report there.
I don't know what's going on there. Celtics take on the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden today at 3:30. Celtics look to avenge their Friday loss in Brooklyn. Bruins drop the puck at 7 tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Bees will try to continue their winning streak, getting up to 7 games. And last night, Alabama defeated by Auburn 48-45. It's the second loss of the season for Alabama. Therefore, not expected to make the college football playoffs. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
Who am I?
Sure enough.
I can't hear you.
Wiggins!
Take that sucker to the designated place at the designated time, and I will gladly designate his ass for dismemberment.
Well, you know what that sound means. That means Jermaine Wiggins is going to knock our socks off.
That's a great movie. Christian, you know what that is, right?
Sure enough.
Right. Keith didn't know. He never even heard of The Last Dragon.
No. One of the greatest movies of all time.
What's Kiss My Converse?
All right,
oh,
Wiggy,
I love that movie.
You built up, yes. I don't know, what was it, a stat that you have?
Or no, just a bold prediction.
Because
we were talking about the Buffalo Bills, right?
So yes, we were.
We were talking to Christian's team, the Buffalo Bills.
Yep, loves those Bills.
And then I go, okay, they look like they're for real.
But I, you know what? I think we have to give them credit.
And here's my bold prediction.
All right.
They will be the team that puts the Baltimore Ravens on a two-game losing streak. Because Baltimore's going to lose to San Francisco.
Oh,
and then
God.
The following week,
oh,
next week,
God.
Baltimore's
no,
going to lose in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Baltimore Ravens next week and hand them their second straight loss.
I don't know what it is about you and the Baltimore Ravens. You cannot buy in on them. So if they beat the Niners today,
they're not going to beat the Niners.
If they do. Mm-hmm. Will you acknowledge that they are a good team, and not just a good team, but the best team in the NFL?
Well, we'll see how they beat the Niners.
They shell up us else.
It's like a blind spot that Wiggy has where he won't admit that Lamar Jackson's a good quarterback, and he won't admit that the Ravens are good.
No, I get it. And I guess he doesn't want to be victim of the moment, right? He wants to see that long-term version. He wants that.
That's right.
You know, that he wants to – because anyone can – and I can look at it and say, all right, what he's doing right now is unbelievable, but – would you sign Lamar Jackson right now if he was a free agent to a 5-year deal? Worth $110 million. I just would be skeptical of whether he could just stay healthy. And I guess you could say that about any quarterback, but I just feel like he puts himself in so many different precarious positions.
But if it's only a 1-year deal, like you could only sign every quarterback in the league for the rest of this year,
season.
He'd be in the top five.
He's having easily. He's having a great season, but the problem that I have, and Mutt said this when I was on a show with him.
Okay,
it might have been with you and Dale. Mutt came in.
All right,
called him a great quarterback.
Well, but he's playing quarterback and he's the MVP of the league right now.
But to say somebody's a great quarterback, you can't just throw the word great around. Like, all right, he's a great quarterback.
Why not?
He's having a very, very good season.
No, he's having a great season. Don't parse that. A very good season? Who's having a better season?
He's not.
Anybody?
His team is 9-2, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. He's having a Russell Wilson, you could say, is having a better season.
He might be the only guy, and after recent weeks, Jax has probably passed him by.
Okay.
I feel like, Wiggy, you knock him down because he's not a traditional quarterback.
That's exactly what it is.
What I do is this here, Christian.
So you give him like less credit
for
doing it just because he's doing it differently. It's almost like you feel like, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's not real.
Well,
it's
not real until you prove to me that you could do it for a
– What if Sam Darnold was doing the same thing?
He would say he's having a great year.
No, I wouldn't say he's a great quarterback. There's a difference between having a great year and being a great quarterback. That's the problem that I have. We're anointing
Can you say he's a great quarterback this year?
I could say he's having a great season.
Well, I kind of
Thank
agree
you.
With
that's
Wiggy.
At least
like,
a bit of a step forward.
There's some truth to that, though, with what he's saying.
There
needs to be like, – you have to be great over a long period of time. So, like, if he was done, if Lamar Jackson was retired, you would say, wow, he had one great year. But you would say, wow, he was a great quarterback.
Right.
Like, it's just – so I get that
And I understand exactly what you guys are saying, and there are recent examples of it. Cam Newton was the MVP.
Cam Newton
Matt
had a great
Ryan
season.
Was the MVP. But for that season,
they had a great
those guys
season.
Were really they were, those guys were great that year, and that's all we're talking about with Lamar Jackson. Like, I understand Fournier's point too. We don't need to sign him to a 5-year deal.
Wait a second,
you're
but
talking about this year.
They're having a really really
he's the best player in football this year.
They're having a great season, but to now say somebody's a great quarterback, you can't do that. Say, hey, I don't know if he's a great quarterback, but I know he's having a great year.
All right. At the very least, he's the MVP this year.
I didn't say that.
Okay. I think he is.
Okay.
And I also would say that if the Patriots have to play them in the AFC Championship game this season, that is going to be an absolute difficult challenge. And I don't care if he's healthy 5 years from now, because if he prevents the Patriots from making the Super Bowl this year, that's all that matters.
I understand that. But the thing that I'm saying about Lamar Jackson is he is having an MVP season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's having a great season. He's not a great quarterback. He's playing the position now better.
But you would finally are admitting, though, he's having a great season.
But I've always said he's having a great season. I've never taken anything away from what he's been able to accomplish.
No,
this
and
season.
I think, again,
but people are
use...
saying he's a great quarterback. Listen, we've seen plenty of guys. Milli Vanilli had a great song.
Yeah.
Does that mean they were a great band?
Well, they were lip syncing everything.
Well, I know that, but at
they
that
look
point,
good though.
But at that point in time, right?
You think
that,
Lamar Jackson's lip syncing?
Well, you think are you comparing Lamar Jackson, Billy Vanilli?
I would say.
Once you compliment him, then you got to rip him again.
No, no, I would say that's his closest comparison.
Is Millie Vanilli?
Because it's a lot of smoke and mirrors right now.
No, it would be more like a give me a one hit wonder band that actually sang their songs that were like, you know, busting their ass and
the B-52s. What's this one?
Oh, no, not Milli Vanilli.
Oh, this is Milli Vanilli. No, not them. Somebody who actually sang their song.
So somebody who sang this, who had that
like
one
the Baja
hit.
Man.
Sure.
He's the Baja Man.
PM Dawn.
Who let the dogs out?
he's House of Pain.
I don't know. I mean, but still, for this year, I mean, they are in a great spot. He's put themselves
in a
great spot.
Right, but I think what a lot of people have done now.
Yeah, but no, I mean, but
they're using this year to now say he is now. I mean, we heard.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. No,
but you might not be. Okay. But think about how many people we heard Chris Collins were talking about. He's going to open the door
for guys. A lot.
He
went a little above.
So you know
there.
Who should be the number one pick this year?
Who's that?
And Christian
Jalen Hurts?
No, not Jalen Hurts. The kid Tyler Huntley out of Utah. He should be the number one pick. Yeah. Because
Smith was number one pick.
He plays as close to. He plays for the Utah Utes. He plays as close to Lamar Jackson as there is.
How pissed is Tommy Frazier that this stuff wasn't going on back then?
Well,
I would say, but I mean, if you want to go back, the guy who first started was Cordell Stewart, not to just keep it in the family.
You think he was as fast as Lamar Jackson?
No, but my saying is no, not even close.
Yeah, okay.
Lamar Jackson has like. You know, elite speed.
Right.
So did,
that's the thing.
Robert Griffin III. But
no, he's like Jackson's more like Michael Vick in that regard than
But Christian's right. It was Cordell Stewart. It was Michael Vick. It was Vince Young. He's very comparable to Vince Young, except the fact he's probably faster than Vince Young. But Vince Young was bigger
than
him.
Young was bigger. Yeah.
You know, he's comparable to Cam Newton. And when I compare him to these are guys that are normally runners that. The throwing part was always kind of an issue or a red flag with them. They weren't able to take away their first read, take away that read option where they can't just, you know, fake it and play action and go to one guy and make them stay in the pocket, build that fence, build that wall. They were a different quarterback.
But so you're still not willing to say that the Ravens are the best team in the league. I understand what you're saying about the quarterback now. I get that part of it because, you know, to be a great quarterback, maybe you need to do it for more than 10 weeks. But that doesn't mean they're not the best team, though.
I think it's like you have to just, you know, you have to at least anoint them in your power rankings in the short term.
Yes.
Nobody's playing better than them.
Right.
Nobody's defense is more dominating. Nobody's offense is more explosive and just.
Oh, the Patriots' defense is more dominating than their defense. I give their offense credit.
If you want to, like, you know, switch defenses, what Baltimore's defense is doing. Now,
they're good. I would say Baltimore.
I mean, but like, it's so what? Like, it's like, so I know the Patriots have a great offense, and I also feel like the Baltimore Ravens defense makes their offense, the Ravens offense, so much better. I mean, that they are the very example and definition of complementary football, like the Ravens. That's Bill thrives for, like both sides of the ball complementing each other. Then you throw in a really good special teams with a good, smart coach who's not afraid to take risk and I mean that's Harbaugh. It's basically shouldn't be any surprise why the Ravens are always your biggest problem because you just start with the head coach.
You want me to give credit to the Baltimore Ravens? I would say this about them. They're probably the best team in the NFL as far as being the most well rounded.
They're the best team, period.
They're the best team in the NFL.
You don't need to add any caveats.
Well no, I'm their offense is good. Their defense is good. Like Christian said, their special teams is good. Their coach is good. They're probably the best, most well-rounded team in the NFL. Where the Patriots, their offense is struggling a little bit. Kansas City, their defense is struggling. So I will give them that. But after, guess what? These next 2 weeks when they go on a two-game losing streak, we'll see what
that's Biggie's bold rankings. Prediction. Fair enough. You can join the show 617-779-7937. We have Tom E. Kern coming up at 11:30 today. We're on till 1. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on NFL Sunday, week 13 in the league. Keith Fourier and Wiggy will be joined by Tommy Kern coming up at 11:30. And this story came out a few hours ago. Ian Rapoport on NFL.com talking about the Texans are not planning to hire a general manager for the 2020 season. Of course, a lot of us assume that Nick Caserio, when his contract is up, would leave the Patriots and go to Houston. There was a lot of interest there in the offseason. Obviously, you got Bill O'Brien there. Jack Easterby ended up leaving, and he's now in Houston right now. The whole Nick Caserio thing, kind of odd, isn't it, when you have one of your personnel guys where it seems like he has one foot out the door, but now I don't know where this story is coming from. I mean, Rapoport has it, but now they're going to might go a whole year without a GM. That also seems weird.
So now the foot's back in the door?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, so now is he just going to stay here, or do you think this is still his last year in New England?
I think Nick is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is. I think it's time. I think it's I mean, don't you think there's something to do with the fact that they never hired anybody in Houston?
Yeah, that's why I thought he was just going there, but I don't know why they're saying that they might not hire anybody next season.
If you think he's gone, Christian, do you think he's going to Houston or he's just gone
somewhere else?
Well, I mean, the Houston seems like it's like they've been, you know, nesting for him, like preparing for him. Like, oh, he got a new baby coming. We got to get the room ready, got to get the crib. You know, it's like, and now it's his contract is up. There's no tampering charges. There's nothing to discuss. Now, unless the Patriots do a Josh McDaniels situation where they bring him to Davio's and they talk him through it and he says, listen, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. We're going to give you that title of GM. Maybe that's how the Patriots throw a wrench into the Houston Texans' plans. And if that's the case, then Houston's just stupid because the Patriots will sit there and screw all your plans up. Just because now they have it's on their terms and they value you and now they want to show you they value you. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like if he's not in Houston, will somebody else come snatch him up? I mean, probably.
Because he's not going to, it seems like from this Ian Rapoport report, he's not going to be in Houston. Right?
Right. They're saying that right now what they have, because they got rid of their GM and they don't have one. It's just vacant. And so Bill O'Brien has final say. And then, believe it or not, Jack Easterby, who was here as like a character coach, he apparently is vice president of team development. And so those
whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. They all have different.
Eat your vegetables.
They all have different names. But those two kind of oversee things. And then I guess they have this guy, Chris Olsen, who's the VP of football administration. He does contracts and blah, blah, blah. And they have another guy with player personnel. But so it's like a whole group of guys that sort of do the job, and they've made some significant trades this year. You know, they gave up a couple of first-round picks to get Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. Earlier in the year, they also traded for Duke Johnson, so they were pretty busy, and then they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. They were very active this offseason.
You know why they probably pulled out on this one with Nick Caserio? Is because if you're him, right, you would say he's probably had a lot of success here, right? He's been a big part of what the Patriots have been able to build.
Yeah.
So if you go to Houston, you become top dog, right? Your voice is the only voice that matters at the end of the day in that room.
Yeah.
But if you start factoring in all these other pieces in there, and then you go there and Billy O'Brien is your guy, but he's not your hire. So is Billy O'Brien going to defer to Nick Caserio and saying, okay, you know, whatever you want to do personnel-wise, you got final say. I think Nick is going to want to be the same way I said this about Josh McDaniels. They've made it to a point where I feel like in their career, especially Nick in his career, wherever he goes, the owner's saying to him, here's the keys to the car. You're the one driving. you make the decision, you hire the coach, you bring in the players that the coach might need, or right. you know, but at the end of the day, you got final say. And I don't think in Houston I don't think he's gonna get that.
You don't think if Nick Caseri went to Houston, he would get that power?
Well, it seems like from Rich.
Well,
from
Bill O'Brien's pulling a lot of the strings
yeah,
right now.
It's and who knows
yeah,
what role.
Don't you think there would be more of a – see, I'd see that more of a working relationship where Bill O'Brien really likes Nick Caserio. He trusts him. There's a little bit more of a cohesive relationship where there's a lot of trust involved. Right.
right.
So Nick is going to be purposely – recruit, and they both have the same mindset.
But what if they hit
want,
that fork in the road? They hit that fork in the road. Who ultimately has final say?
Well, I mean, okay, then you better have that in your contract. And then so I don't know what that would be. And if that's the case, then I guess you don't go. I mean,
I think that's ultimately what I think.
But then why do business together, right? So mm-hmm. If it's not going to be a democracy and a relationship, then this is all smoke and mirrors. So we're working in a relationship. Now you're going to put your foot down?
Yeah, you know how that works, Christian. It's like, here, we all got a great working relationship, right? You know, we're all kind of, we're all on-air personalities. But once one of you goes to become the program director, those relationships now are different, right? Now it's like, okay, I mean, we still got a great working relationship, but it's like...
But wait a minute.
Don't work out together anymore.
Yeah, somebody's got to have final say. So, and I think when you look at Nick Caserio and you look at the Billy O'Brien situation, Billy O'Brien's been there for, 6 years?
This is year 6.
So now Nick's going to come in. They might have had a great working relationship when they were in New England, and they both were... they both weren't on the top at the top of the food chain, but now it's Billy O'Brien's at the top of the food chain.
I think I agree with you, but there's I feel like I always think that one of the real interesting sports to me is like volleyball, like two-player volleyball, either men's or women's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like a relationship, and there's always one person that's better than the other one, and I always wondered how that one player that's better kind of deals with the person who is not necessarily pulling their weight, because it's never equal. So what's the mindset that goes into that? Like, there's just got to be a lot of compromise. There's got to be a lot of trust, and there's got to be a lot of, not holding a grudge. Like, I set you perfectly and you didn't spike it. Right. There's mm-hmm. just, I always thought that was a weird relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, one person is always better, and you're relying on another person. And if you were by yourself, like, you could win, but you can't because it's a two-player sport. Like, it's not tennis. It's not, golf. So, and I feel like that's the way it is with a GM and a head coach who have to work together. And there needs to be some letting this person fail, and it's not the end of the world, and we're still going to win it. I don't know. I just feel like you can't have, like, this dictatorship if you want Nick Caserio.
I was going to say, how long do you think, is Bill O'Brien there for the long haul?
No.
I don't think he can be.
And if
right?
you're Nick Caserio, you go there, Billy O'Brien. Let's say they don't make, they're 7-4 right now.
Yeah.
Let's say they don't make the playoffs, which is a wild. They lose in the first round. Doesn't there become a point in time where the owner, which it's McNair, right? Is McNair the Texans owner?
I think he's...
Well, whoever the owner is. I
don't think he's with us, right?
Am I thinking
of somebody else?
He might not be with us. You might be right. But whoever the owner is of the Texans goes...
Yeah, Bob McNair's dead.
Okay, so whoever the owner of the Texans is goes, okay, we done gave O'Brien 7 years. He's got one playoff win. Hey, Nick, it's time for you to get another coach.
Mm-hmm.
And... Now you're blowing Billy O'Brien out of there anyways. And
what about Bob Quinn? It's like, isn't it the same situation in Detroit? Like, all these former Patriots that hired Patriot coaches.
But Bob Quinn hired Matt Patricia, right?
Yeah, right. Like, Nick Caserio didn't hire Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
he'd go in there and maybe try him out for a year and then say, we got to go somewhere else.
Right.
Potentially.
Right. Yeah. And so how or does Nick go, wait a second, let's give, whoever McNair family members running the show now, hey, let's give him another year or two. Now mm-hmm. that I got here, so I think it becomes hard when the coach is already in place and then a GM gets hired.
Yeah, but I think that Bill O'Brien is our next Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because that's really all comes down to the owners, right? Like, if they're Hugh Jackson, how?
Yeah.
Well, it just long like a guy that's always close, never quite there.
Oh, you mean Marvin Lewis?
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. Sorry, not Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson won one game in 2 years.
Sorry.
Same team, wrong coach.
Marvin Lewis. He's just like. Because what's the alternative? Do you
Can you do better?
Down?
Right, that's always the thing.
I just feel like that to me is more of if you realize you have a good coach, maybe he's not the greatest coach, but he's good.
Well, again,
and you're not in any trouble.
If it's Caserio, just for this the sake of this discussion, the idea of Caserio and McDaniels being a package deal has always come up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know they convinced him to come back to Indy or from Indy, McDaniels, that first time around. But that was also when you didn't know what Andrew Luck's health was at all. You had no clue. Turns out he wasn't going to last much longer. But if you could convince him, you say, hey, you got Deshaun Watson and you got you and me down there in Houston. Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah. See, I don't even know if McDaniels
would be better than Bill O'Brien, but I'm just saying Caserio clearly has a great relationship.
At least Caserio's going down there with a guy that.
And that'd be a quarterback to go hit your wagons to.
And I think Caserio would be going, okay, like Christian said, we're playing this doubles volleyball. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of one step up from you, McDaniels, because I'm the GM. I'm the one hiring you. So, and I think McDaniels goes, okay, I think we can work together knowing that, hey, I got to defer to Nick when it comes to maybe, you know, us getting in that fork in the road.
Because one of the biggest things that really screwed up McDaniels the first time around was trying to pick a quarterback.
Right.
And they landed on Tebow. And then that overshadowed some of the good picks that they did make and some of the other good moves that they did make. And then that was kind of a mess from the get-go. But if those two show up, because the hardest thing for a GM or a head coach or whoever's making that thing to do, the toughest thing is finding the quarterback. And Houston's one of the few teams that has one for the future.
And being on the same page, because now GM knows, okay, they like to run this style of offense.
Right.
So we can go out and get this guy, or they can build their offense around this guy.
Yeah.
And the GM and coach being on the same page, because the GM knows the type of offense that the head coach or wants to run.
But to Fourier's point, I wonder, Bill O'Brien is similar to Jason Garrett in a way where the owner can sort of say, well, see, look, it's not a revolving door here. We got our guy. Like, the guy might not be very good, but you're not a team that has four head coaches in 5 years.
Right, but you become Marvin Lewis, right? And Christian brought up Marvin Lewis, and there are a lot of people who go.
Which is, by the way, might as well bring up Andy Dalton. You might as well. Or you brought up Marvin Lewis.
No.
Yeah,
Jason Garrett's
close.
A good example.
Yeah, it is.
Jason Garrett's a good example.
But I think Marvin Lewis is a better example, because Jerry Jones, we know, is basically, he's the Kim Jong-un of that of that organization, where in the Marvin Lewis situation, the Brown family, I don't think they were as involved in the personnel decisions like Jerry Jones.
No, they're not like Jerry Jones.
But the Marvin Lewis situation is more of, hey, this guy, and I think this was probably the national sentiment around for a long time, is this guy probably got 3, 4, 5 years too long, because when is he ever going to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to be, if you're Billy O'Brien, that's who you're becoming. A guy who's like, we're competitive, but, you know, we all, if we do make the playoffs, we'll get bounced in the first round.
Yeah, but if there were, if I look at certain teams that have that don't have that revolving door, identify that they have a good coach, I always feel like if it was a stock, it would just be a consistent, there would be ups and downs, but there would be a consistent amount of growth with them. You're not going to you're not going to retire on it, but you know every year they're going to be involved in the equation. Like, they're always going to be competing because their coach isn't a nitwit. So just that alone, Mike Vrabel's a good coach. His team is never going to let his team quit on them. They're always going to fight to the end.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Freddie Kitchen, who's just a little bit more volatile. Yeah, there's these unbelievable highs, but the lows, oy, and you never know where they're going to come, and you never know how long they're going to last. I just feel like Bill O'Brien, as bad as he's been against the Patriots, he's always got his team there in the end.
You're saying that as an owner, do we go with complacency, or do we take a shot on a Sean McVay who might get us there, but then might...
So who do you think is the better coach, Sean McVay or Bill O'Brien?
Sean McVay?
Yeah.
Based on what?
took his team to a Super Bowl.
He got Jared Goff to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Goff sucks.
So I mean, this is the Lamar Jackson situation. That's 1 year.
Right.
It's 1 year.
Well,
and
that's
they're
what
are they
going to
be when all those contracts come due and they can't just spend money like crazy to get all these great players?
But he took a not great quarterback to the Super Bowl, so I'll give him credit for that.
Isn't that the question you ask? Is that
Bill O'Brien's won one playoff game and it came
against
Connor
Cook. Over the long run, okay. So right now, I wouldn't take Sean McVay. He was just the latest flavor of the month where people are getting all excited about young coaches.
They're one game worse than Houston is right now, and everybody's saying that they're
fine.
A disaster.
Over the next 3 years, first of all, I think Sean McVay will be fired in the next 3 years.
Over the next 3 years, which
I think he's
going to
be fired.
Over the next 3 years, which will be Billy O'Brien's ninth year.
That'll be fine. But he's still employed.
He won
he's
more
still a head
playoff
coach
games.
In the league.
McVay won more playoff games last year than Bill O'Brien has ever won.
That's a flash in the pan.
Okay. All right.
Flash in the pan.
They'll take the Super Bowl appearance rather than losing the wild card every other year. Yeah. All right,
would you rather have one Super Bowl appearance?
Yes.
Or be and then the rest of the years be below 500?
Or one playoff win.
Yeah, would I rather be
there,
Marvin Lewis. I'll take Sean McVay. Yeah,
I guess I like being able to sleep at night.
You like a nice 9-7. Yeah,
yes, I'm fine with 9-7.
I'll take 9-7. The Patriots have dominated the Texans. We'll find out if tonight will be any different. We'll get into the game here. We come back on NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. Also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.